Okay, Parish's culprit. I'll show you a couple of things. I'm going to show you one boy. There's a very well-known Ajia, and then the and I'll share more thematic thing I'd like to see about. So there's a famous voice that they say, I don't know who is Machadish Kovic, I can say Shimon Rambam, but the Pasuk says that when Rivka finally got pregnant after her years of barrenness, but he talked to Avon Bekirba, that the boys were running around inside of her. They're running around. You know, they're kicking and whatever. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that says that Kishahito Beres Al Pitzchei Torah, she passed by the Medrash, Al Shei Be'er, Yaakov Rath and Mephadi, so stage. So Yaakov would be like anxious. He's like, I'll get out, I want the Beit Medrash. Al Pitzchei Torah, she would pass the Beit Medrash, Eitha Mephadi, so stage. And Eitha would try to get out. So they ask the same kasha. Everybody knows the Gemara in Masechta Nida tells us that when a baby is in utero, so when he's in the womb, that a malach comes and teaches the baby kol asar kula. So what?
Kiss.
Yeah. Right. And he patches the gives the baby a little patch there on the face and makes him forget. So okay, the Rishonim get the whole shtick of kula on that Gemara, which is could I look into it's a nefesh harat. But besides that, so they have the kasha based on that Gemara. Yaakov Avinu is learning Torah with the Malach Hashem Tzevachos. He's learning Torah with the best Rebbe. So why is it when he goes to the Beit Medrash, he's trying to get out? You've got the best Rebbe. You've got a Malach. Why are you trying to get out of the womb to go to the Beit Medrash, or Shein Be'er, if he's got the best Rebbe in the world, he's learning straight from a Malach? That's the kasha they have. You know what the answer is? He has the best Rebbe, but the worst Tavrusa. He's born on Esau. Okay. Where are you going? I'm not going there. Anyway. So, the point is, guys, you may have the best Rebbe, but you have to have a good Tavrusa. So everybody should be a good Tavrusa for their Tavrusa. And make sure you're in the same time, make sure you're in the same and let's work on that.
Good boy, yeah?
Good boy. Okay. Now, I'd like to share with the board. But before I tell you that other board, I'd like to
share board meets.
Word means literally means word. It's the Yiddish word of the day.
Okay.
Yiddish word of the day.
Oh,
word.
Literally
Yiddish word of the day. Yeah, just tell it. Word.
Should we get a quiz to count with the Yiddish word of the day?
Okay. All right. Let's continue. I'd like to tell you a story. There's a story about a man named Roger Stanley. Two first names, but Roger Stanley. He became somewhat famous. Not so famous, but it was somewhat famous because he actually invented something recently, which, depending on how you look at it, might be the world's greatest invention and might just prove him to be a complete idiot. What do I mean? Roger Stanley was out in the field one day when he came across a special rock. Now, this rock was different than other rocks that he's found. And he studied this rock for a little while, and he saw that this rock was in a unique shape, in that it was flat on two sides and curved around on the outside, so that it actually was like almost like a sphere, but sliced in the middle. So he took that rock, that shape, and he was bringing it home, and he was looking at it, and then it dropped, and it fell, and he saw that it actually rolled. And he realized that if you take a round kind of a shaped thing, you can roll it. And if you take two of those, then you can hook them up together and put things on it and, like, push things on it. And he discovered the wheel. And Roger Stanley is alive and well today, but he discovered the wheel. So either he is a man who discovered the world's greatest invention, or he's a complete idiot, because where's he been for the last, like, 2,000 years, you know, 5,000 years, whatever, right? Okay. I just made up that Roger Stanley story. It could be the Roger Stanley out there in the world. But my point is as follows. I want you to think about this.
Roger Stanley might be an ingenious person. Why?
Because he used his mind in a way to discover something which, okay, granted, it has been invented before. It has been discovered before. But he used his mind to align, whatever, he aligned his mind with the necessary discipline of understanding something which indeed was possibly one of the greatest inventions in the world. Although I have heard people say that the iPhone is better than the wheel, but I don't know. Or you could look at him as a complete idiot. Why? Because he really didn't do much. He really didn't do anything. What did he do? He didn't have any time that other people already have. So what's the point? So I'd like you to think of that Hakira right now. Keep that Hakira in mind. We're going to come back to that. The Torah tells us that Yaakov and Rivka's two sons grew up. These two boys, they grew up. Esav was a man who knew how to hunt. He was a man of the field. Yaakov ish tanya sheva alim. He was a simple man sitting in tents learning Torah. Rashi tells us something interesting. Rashi says, why do we now tell us the difference when it says that they grew up? Says Rashi, called Matcha Haikitana when they were young boys, lo hayumi karingu ma'aseyam. They weren't recognizable in their actions. The ain't other medactic behind ma'atibam. And nobody was being precise with them as to what their nature was. Nobody was like discerning exactly what their nature was. Kids should not have to be. Say once they turn 13 years old, so should they shun off. Zephyr is about to enjoy the Yaakov went to the Tanish. Zephyr is about to leave him. And Esav went off to the Lord of Zara. So, Rav Hirsch, the famous idea, he asks, how is this possible? For 13 years, the Yaakov and Esav grow exactly the same, without any discernment between this one is treated like this and this one is treated like that. I mean, it's almost like a twin experiment, you know, like they raised two twins in exactly the same environment, but then, boom, one went off to be a Tzaddik, one went off to be a Rasha. How's that possible? Doesn't make any sense, right? So Hirsch said, and this is a profound insight, which is very important to keep in mind, both for yourselves and for your future, Bez Hashem, when you guys are all fathers. He says, you know why it happened that Yaakov went off to the Beis Medrash and Esav went off to the Beis Avodah Zarah? He says, precisely because nobody paid attention to the differences between them. Precisely for that reason. Because, as Rashi's language indicates, right, that lo hayim yikarim b'maaseh, they weren't discernible in their action. They not a medakik ben amatiyam. Nobody was careful. Nobody was being precise. What's their nature? What's the kid's nature like? Esav, maybe he could have been a great Tzar HaTzibor. Maybe he was that ADHD kid in the class who, like, you know, can't sit still and, like, is constantly, you know, running around and whatever. And you know, and he's trying to learn to be a club, but he just couldn't focus. He's daydreaming. He's thinking about the animals in the field. And he's being asked to become a hunter. Who knows? But because, this is a little bit of a harsh point, because it sounds like a little bit of criticism on Yitzchak Avinu, so we have to say it with all the proper respect. But Rav Hirsch says, this is what we mean when we say Chanochu Na'al Pidako, that we have to educate a child according to his way, which means that we have to be medactic, we have to pay attention to individuals, what is their nature, and understand that no one person is the same. No person can be just chopped up like, oh, he's just like that kid, or this is his type. No, every individual is unique. And their uniqueness is part of their essence. And we know that Chazal teach us, you know, Hebrew is a very wide language. Hebrew is not just found a language like, you know, it's a bunch of letters put together. But every letter has meaning, every word has meaning. And we know that every person is unique on their inside. And how do you say inside? Tanin. They're inside. And tanin is the same word as their tanin, as their face. You look at an individual, you look at a person, and you see their face. And the Kubbalah know how to do this. They know how to read a person's face and understand what their nature is. From their face, it's reflected on their inside. And even identical twins, you got that? They're not identical. They look like brothers, fine. They're not identical, but they're not. Even identical twins, who can tell the difference between two identical twins? The people who know them the best. Right? The parents who are familiar with, well, this one's a little more wild, this one's a little more calm, this one's more creative, this one's more studious, whatever, you know. And then it's much easier to just tell the difference. Yeah, that's the fun. Well, you can't know the difference. It's totally different. Even though you're identical, no. Because why? Because they have a different theme, so their panim also reflects that. Every individual is unique. And part of the issue with Yaakov and Esav was that those differences were not cared for, were not nurtured and directed in the right way. And this is an important thing for us to keep in mind, because this concept of our individuality, our uniqueness, is something that we, as individuals, before we even get to the stage of where we're fathers and we're trying to be mechanech of our own children, it's something that we need to embrace for ourselves. That every person has to, at some point, look in the mirror and say to themselves, I am special. I am unique. What I can do in this world, nobody else can do. And it's not guidebook. It's not guidebook. It's not meant to be arrogant or haughty. It means Hashem cared enough to put you in this world because He's got a mission for you. And the mission that you can do, nobody else can do. Because I'll say that we're supposed to say, we're supposed to tell ourselves every once in a while, Bishvili Nivra Olam. First of all, that two notes. And one of them says, I'm off the upper bay. I'm supposed to say, I'm dust and ashes, I'm nothing. And on the other hand, I'm supposed to say, the world was created for me. What does it mean, the world was created for me? It means, I'm unique. It means, this whole world is for me. From Shmuel Brazil, Shlita has a sefer, a whole sefer that he wrote on Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. That's the title of the book, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the world is created for me. And it's all about the uniqueness of the individual. It's a very beautiful sefer. And in there he says a beautiful idea. He says, we say in Kriya Shema every day, V'yahata et Hashem Elokech Elor Hashem, v'chol levavcha, or v'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and all your soul, v'chol me'odecha, and all your me'odecha. What's me'od? So, okay, one shot is v'chol namonfa, with all your money. But he quotes from the Medrash, I think, that says, what's b'chol me'adefa? It's all of your ma'od. It's all of your ma'od. It's all of your care.
All of your
gift, Ramana. All of what you have a lot. What does that mean? It means this guy has a lot of talent in this, and this guy has a lot of talent in that. This guy's very charismatic, this guy's very smart, this guy's very creative. Hashem has blessed us with all different types of talent. You're supposed to love Hashem with your talent. Plus it says, which is initially, Kabirat Hashem Mehomcha. Honor Hashem from your wealth. What does it mean, your wealth? So the Gemara Kedushin learns that. What does it mean, Mehomcha? Don't learn it as Mehomcha. Mehmasha Chonancha. Changes the halo. That from that which God graced you with. God graced you with special things. God made you special. In one way or another. If you're not going to use it to serve Hashem, so what are you doing here? God created you. Kabirat Hashem Mehomcha. And says the Rishon Rizot, puts it in perspective. What does it mean to have the Shema of the Kefa, the Chol Me'odecha? And the Ode, he said, if you flip around the letters, is what? Adam. Adam, man, because every Adam has a Me'od. And we know in Hasidus and Rishon Rizot also raises that the words that share the same letters are related. Every Adam has a Me'od, has something that they are unique about. So we have to focus in and embrace our uniqueness, embrace our passions and our talents, and there's a direct in Tasha, there's a Kabir to Shemin Hamsa. There's the Ar Hashem, that which He has graced us with. And this is also part of the difference between Yaakov and Esau. And here we're going to get back to Roger Stanley. Esau, Rashi points out in the Lashon Asui. Esau is done. He's done. So he came out, I'm a done human being. Got all my hair, I'm strong and mighty, and I'm done. I am who I am, that's all that I am. Yaakov, what's Yaakov? The Lashon of Akev, an ankle. Okay, I have a note because he's holding out the ankle, and I'm going to be first, ankle's horrified. But what Yaakov also means, Laakov Atarai means follow me. Follow me. Yaakov was saying, I want to follow. Not follow Esau, follow the path of Yitzchak, follow the path of Abraham. And he's using his heel, he's using his ankle. Because why? What's he doing? He's walking, he's moving. He's not Atsui, he's not done. He understands that whatever stage I'm at now, so I can go further, there's more. And so therefore, and this is the chakira that I have to get into Roger Stanley. To invent the wheel in 2014, either you're an idiot because you just had your head buried in the sand for the last 5,000 years, or maybe there's actually some genius to it. Maybe it's possible I can, if I told you that Roger Stanley was just an average normal neighbor living next door and he didn't know there's such a thing as a wheel, he uses four of them, five of them, whatever, to drive to work every day, so you'd say he's an idiot. If I told you he grew up with apes in the Guatemala in the forest or whatever, I don't know if he's in the forest in Guatemala, but whatever. If I told you that, and he was raised by apes, and he discovered on his own how to make a wheel work, so you'd say, well, that's the genius of the human intellect. That's incredible. And he is a genius in context. So the same thing is true, I think, to a certain degree, to our own individuality, which is this. We have a choice. We can say, I'm going to be original. I'm going to be unique. And we can try to blaze our own path, try to come up with something that's completely brand new, and maybe we'll be successful. Or maybe it actually makes sense to be like a Yaakov, to say, I can follow in my parents' footsteps, I can follow in the tradition of my avos, I can try to follow in the tradition of my religion, but I can still find my unique place. What Yaakov was not just a repeat, he was not just a copycat of Yitzchak and Abraham. He was a perfect blend. In the Chassidus, we talk about this a lot. Abraham was a meter of chesed, Yaakov was a meter of gvura, and Yaakov was a combination, was a perfect balance between them. So Yaakov followed his footsteps. He took the best of Abraham, he took the best of Yitzchak, and he made it his own. And that's also called being original. It's also called being unique. When I was taking guitar lessons a few years back, once I kind of got the theory down of music, I understood that, the way the guitar fret is built, there's different frets. On each fret, whatever, where you push the string is a different note, yeah? But it's just a pattern, right? It's just a pattern of seven notes that go up and down the scale, yeah? So I asked my guitar teacher, I was like, is it possible at this time, in our day and age, to write an original tune? Because, just mathematically, you think about it, there's only so many numbers of patterns of tunes that you could write. He said, basically, it's impossible. So mathematically, it's impossible. Because, you're playing an A minor F, C, G chord, whatever, chord progression, and, that's the same song as,
A million songs,
yeah, exactly. Anybody knows anything about music? You could play that. You could go through, Mamish 100 songs in the same 15 minutes, because they all follow the same pattern. But you know what? But you know what does make something unique? You could still write a unique song in A minor F, C, G. There's some different arrangements and some different sound, and it depends on how you sing and what words you put to it. And you know what? And it's a song which entertains people and makes people feel happy or sad or meaningful or whatever it is. But you put some originality into it, and that's okay, and then it's your song. And this is a little bit, this is what we have to think about in terms of our own originality, in terms of our own uniqueness, and understand what is it that, how is it that we can embrace our uniqueness and we can stand up and kind of say to the world, I am here. I am an Adam, and I have a ma'od, and I'm going to share that ma'od with the world, while at the same time understanding that it's very hard for any individual to make an impact on the world in a grand way. So therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take from all of the various traditions I have, from all the different things that I learned from my parents and my rabbis and my teachers and whatever, and I'm going to use this to make the perfect balance for myself. I'll tell you a story in a minute. But I'd like to share with you special Dvar Torah from Shlomo Karlach that ties into this idea. Shlomo says, there is one, two, and three. Those are the numbers. But then there's the first. Based on the Zohar, it says there's something very deep. After one comes two. But after first comes nothing. Something else might come after first, but not the second. First means there is no second. Now listen to me, I want you to open your heart. If you wake me up in the middle of the night and you say, tell me fast, who is the first person you love? I'll tell you. And then you ask me, who's the second person you love? It's not the same thing. After the first, that's it. The first has no second. There are certain things in life that are so deep that if it's not the first, then forget it. You know what a slave is? A slave is someone who has given up on the first. I don't have that first anymore. I lost it. I became a slave. A master has a first. A slave is somebody who has no first. A slave is always second. You know, friends, our whole lives are always about second, not first. We are compromising on so much, giving up, giving in. We don't really do what we want to do. We always do what has become our second choice. We never do what we want on our first choice. We are living in a whole world where everybody cuts down at first. Okay, he has a whole Dvar Torah, but that I'm going to skip and I'm going to cut through the part that connects with our parsha. So every person has a first. The question is, what is first by you? Are holy things first? Are important things first? Or is the stock market first? You know, friends, you can do everything right, keep every law in the world. If the stock market is first by you, then you are managed in the lowest exile. You can have your own 747 and travel around the world with millions in your pocket, but if you don't have this first, you are the lowest slave. And here, friends, this is the whole thing in our parsha about the birth rate. Yaakov and Esav were fighting over who was the firstborn. But what were they really fighting about? They weren't fighting over who came out first. Yaakov wanted to establish in the world that the first thing is God. The first thing is to be holy. The first thing is to be holy. So what's first by Esav? Having a good time, running around. You see, Esav never said he didn't want to serve God. But first, let's have a little soup. Maybe after that, I'll have some time to serve God. But, you know, a little later. You hear the board card? Hear what he's saying? So what's first by you? He said, listen, sweetest friends. What is the deepest sign that you are connected to your first? The deepest sign is that you begin to grow again. Second and third don't grow. First, about the first. If I love a girl on the level of first, then I love her more every day. If I love a girl on the level of second or third, she can hang out for 50 years, nothing will grow. I also love bagels and lots. It's very nice. It's very beautiful. But it's not growing. We are living in a world where, thank God, we cannot prove anything. At a certain point in history, everyone was talking about proving. Different religions came out proving there's one God. Some holy rabbi had to also write something about it. Moshe Rabbeinu did not put anything into the Bible proving that there's one God. Why? Because we Jewish people are not into proving that there's one God. What kind of God is it that needs to be proven? If a girl says to me, prove to me that you love me, I'll say, don't call me, I'll call you. What's there to prove? Anything that is real cannot be proven. I can prove to you that this one bagel exists. This one piece of lox exists. You guys feel about this. That's a bagel and lox. Or that this butter. Outside stuff can be proven. But proving inside things? No. Can I prove to you this melody is stupid and this melody is beautiful? Can I prove to you that Beethoven was a great composer? Imagine if someone is deaf to music. Can you prove to me that they don't make good music? I cannot prove it to you. What kind of stupid music would that be that someone can prove it to you? When something is so exalted and so holy, it cannot be proven. The question is, my friends, is ask ourselves, what's first by us? Where are our priorities? What is it that makes us who we are? What are we living for? What is our mission in life? What's driving us? And maybe to ask better, what are we driving towards? Because if we are sitting in a passenger seat of life, so then what's life going to be? It's going to be whoever's driving. That's what it's going to take me. Life is going to take me. So maybe I'll wind up a millionaire. Maybe I'll wind up, a poor bum on the street. Maybe I'll wind up with a happy marriage. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll wind up with great kids. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll wind up with a successful job. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll feel happy with myself. Maybe I won't. Because it's not up to me. It's not up to me. It's not my life. Life is driving. And I'm just in the passenger seat. I'm being brought along. But if I'm living, if I'm driving, if I recognize that I have a mission in this world, that Hashem put me in this world, made me special, gave me kofos, he gave me talent, gave me a mission, then if I take that and I direct myself in the right direction, I look at my, I create an itinerary for my life, a trajectory for my life. I create a trajectory and I say to myself, I want to be great. This is the greatness that I think I can bring out to the world. God gave me the seeds of greatness inside of me, and I'm going to bring them out. So how do I do that? Okay, so then we work backwards. How can I achieve greatness? Okay, where am I now? Where do I want to be? Make it work. So maybe it starts with each person making a little cheshbon nefesh, looking inside, saying, who am I? What am I? What are my abilities? What can I do well? How can I bring that out for God in this world and make this world a better place? How can I accomplish what God wants me to accomplish in this world? And I say this, I'm saying this to you guys now, not as Muslims. But I'm saying this as Idud, as encouragement. Right now, Baruch Hashem, we're at a stage where we're slowly starting to increase our intensity in learning. The Siddur and Bliyag Hara this week have been much better. Guys are getting focused in Seder, working with Harusas, looking up the word, picking up the Pshat and Gemara, coming to Shir, paying attention, trying to get the Gemara. Well, it's amazing. Well, you know what it's going to do? It's going to show you that when you put your mind to it, you can accomplish whatever you want. And it shows you that when you are searching for God, you will find Him. And when you find God, you will find yourself also. Okay, we're going to end here. I wish you guys a very good Shabbat. I know you guys have a Shabbat, just think the...